Here's Mike McIntosh to begin today's edition of CNV with this thought on letting go.
That's what's so great about Jesus. He sees such potential in every one of you. He doesn't see the failures and the hurt, and he knows all that, but the compassion means he knows everything that's going through your heart and mind, but he sees how to get you to where you need to be, that God created you to be. But if you hold on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you'll just let go, you'll find what living is all about.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
What do we do now? That's the title of our teaching today on Chapter and Verse with Mike McIntosh. On today's broadcast, we're taking part in a verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of John. In our surveyed area of text, we're going to examine one of Jesus' many miracles. It's the feeding of the 5,000. The story not only illustrates Christ's compassion for mankind, but it was also a lesson to the apostles and to us to look to Jesus and trust Him. Life lessons are ahead as we open the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and join Mike McIntosh.
But there are four solutions to just about every overpowering situation we come across. So I'd like to look at what does this text show us for the solutions for feeding 10 or 15,000 people. Getting that crowd set up. No porta potties. There's no grill. There's no barbecues. There's no running water. There's no bottled water. What are the solutions to meet the need? When the disciples threw out theirs and Jesus said, no, you take care of this. They weren't ready for that. I think solution number one is get rid of the problem. That's very normal for us. Get rid of it. Get rid of this problem. That'll do it. And what did the disciples say? Send them away. Let them go to the local villages and buy bread of their own. How selfish and self-centered. But that was solution number one. Some of you are facing problems this very moment that you'd like to just get rid of. In The Godfather, we find out that some people get rid of problems. They get rid of problems. But we're not talking about that. But there must be people in your life, memories in your mind, situations coming up or you're in the midst of, that you'd like to just erase. That's the easiest thing. Get rid of it. That's one solution. Send the people away. That'll settle this. And where are we going to get the food? Knowing already what he's going to do. Get rid of it. Get rid of the problem. Send them away. That's the first response. Too much need, not enough resource. So get rid of the problem. Sell it. Throw it away. Donate it and get a tax write-off. Whatever it is, just get it out of here. So too much need, not enough resource. Get rid of the problem. And how about this one? If we ignore it, it'll go away. Huh? That's a good solution. Ignore it. So get rid of the problem. You could say that would include ignore it and it'll go away. And sometimes you girls have tried to do that with the guys that wanted to date you. I'll just ignore him and he doesn't go away. Or how about this one? Charge it and we'll pay for it later. That'll get rid of the problem. And you found out, no, that brought back more problems at 22% interest. So get rid of the problem is solution number one. Solution number two, if we raise enough money, boy, how many churches and ministries that you just like all of us, we get these envelopes, we give one time, and all of a sudden, they never stop hounding us. Some of them I just look at and say, bless them, put it in my shredder. Others, you know, I just say, okay, this year we're going to give to these 10 organizations. The church is always number one, and we'll just put that in automatic. They get X amount every month. I won't even think about it so I don't forget it, but they just keep coming and coming. And if you give, boy, they want you to give more. They'll never be satisfied. So one solution, especially for religious and nonprofit organizations, is raise enough money. That'll take care of this problem. Have huge reserves. And then you get huge reserves and you don't need to pray anymore. You don't need to seek the Lord anymore. Raise enough money and that'll take care of this issue. You know, Jesus said, count the cost. Well, Philip was the first person he zeroed in on. And Philip counted the cost. 200 pennyworth or 200 denarii won't feed all these people. He's counting the wrong cost. But we see administrative skills that he's already figured it out. If we were to feed all these guys and we had 200 denarii, that would be 5,000 divided. And his mind's just going. He said, Philip, what? And Philip says, well, if we raised enough money, you know, 200 penny worth or 200 denarii is equal to about 10 months working wage for the average laborer in those days. A denarii, a penny worth, was a day's wage. So he's thinking 200 days wages, 20 working days, 10 months. If we had 10 months in our little bag here that Judas is carrying, in our supplies, in our reserves, in our ministry fund, that wouldn't be enough to feed all these people. Wow. Raise enough money, that'll get the job done, won't it? That wouldn't be enough. Maybe you feel like that. It's taxed your mind. How are we going to do this? We don't have enough money. It's taxing your mind. Don't you have enough taxes already? Why tax your mind? Don't let anything overwhelm you so much that you can't look to Jesus. But that's solution number two. Raise enough money. If I had enough cash, if I had enough investors, if I had enough stocks and bonds and retirement, well, then I could get through all this. No. We think money's the answer to everything in our society. And money, as the Beatles said, can't buy me love. And money has caused a lot of heartache, as Beatle Paul is finding out. You know, money is not the answer to everything. God's the answer to everything. In verse 6, it says that Jesus asked him, knowing what he was going to do. And he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. I wonder if the proving part is taking place in your life. He already knows what the outcome is going to be. But you so control everything in your life, you can't see what's down the road. He wants you to let go so that when down the road is a reality, you're in the right place at the right time. Testing the strength of our faith. That's what he's doing. He's testing the strength of our faith. He wants you to see how strong you are. Philip could have easily said, you know what, Lord, I don't know. I have no clue, but I know you're the resource and you are the answer. And then solution number three. Not quite sure what to do, but let's do something. And that was Andy. Andrew comes on the scene and he walks up to Jesus and he says, well, we got this little boy here. Well, what's that mean, Andrew? Well, you see, this little guy has some food. Uh-oh. This little guy is going to embarrass these mature men. Because the mature men and these 12 loafers didn't even bring a lunch. Have you picked up on that yet? Get rid of the crowds so we can go eat, is what they're really saying. Remember the woman at the well 4 weeks ago? Wow, we're tired and hungry. They go into town to get food, and they miss the woman that was the key to the whole town. It's all about their bellies. It's all about their stomach. It's all about me. It's all about self. And Jesus already knew what was going to happen. Jesus already knows what's going to happen by the time you put your pillow on your bed and your head on that pillow tonight. He already knows. The question is, will you be able to enjoy? Now, yesterday as I was working on the final touches of this message, I was sitting in our patio and I saw 4 yellow butterflies, 3 different birds, and 4 hummingbirds. And a little breeze was blowing by, and I was just saying, thank you for this breeze. Thank you for these hummingbirds. Thank you for these butterflies. I have no clue what I'm doing, but thank you for the beauty of everything around me that you have made. You know, when we try to be self-sufficient, we miss the tender touch of God. He so desperately wants you to feel his hand on your chest, on your heart. He so wants you to have your ears open that you'll learn to hear him. He so wants you to know how much he loves you, and he's not angry. He's not a mad dad. He loves you. And he's got so much for you. But many times, like a lifeguard, when they see somebody drowning, they let him go under for that last time before they dive in to save him, because the drowning man will pull the lifeguard down. Or the lifeguard's got to pop him in the nose one time to get him to let go, that death grip. You might have a death grip, not only on this world, but on yourself. You've got to let it go. It's not about you. Your resources are nothing. And since they are your resources, you're pretty stingy. There's so many there that need you. And yet, you say, get rid of them. What you're really saying is, I'm hungry they're a problem. I want to take care of my tummy. Can't live like that. Compassion, he understood everything in every life. That's what that word literally means. To have that amount of compassion means he knew all of your heart issues. He knew all of your heart issues. He knew all of your hurt. He knew all of mine. He loves you so much, ladies and gentlemen. There isn't anything hidden that he can't see. But we don't see him, so we hide from him. We think it's too good to be true. Not quite sure what to do, but Andrew found a little boy. Andrew appears to be a people person. Because look at John chapter 1, verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found his own brother Simon and said to him, quote, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. When we see Andrew, we see him bringing people to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You're Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. You know, exercise faith like Andrew did. That's so important. Andrew wasn't quite sure what to do, but his attitude, let's do something. He's out in the crowd looking for somebody with a resource. And he brings that boy to Jesus. And I want to encourage you this week. I bet 10 things will come your way where you can exercise your faith or you can walk away from it. Exercise your faith. And this is what I've learned to do as a Christian man. See the potential in everyone and in everything. I love people, as many of you know, because I see so much potential. And I see what Jesus does for me, and I look at you, and I say, Lord, what can I do to help them get to a place higher than they are today? To see the potential in every situation and every person frees you up to not be putting things in a box and letting you be overwhelmed with that which is not manageable. I grew up in life, as many of you, on the defense. I can be offensive and go forward, and I could be aggressive. But I was always on the defense, always waiting for the next punch, the next slap, the next hit, the next challenge, the next fight, whatever it would be. Always wondering who was going to hurt me next. I was always defensive, never have trusted people. And then when I got to know Jesus, and I saw that he loved people, starting with me, then I began to realize what he has done for me. I wish I could give back to you a million times. The only thing I have to give is my time and my life. That's all I have. I'm not a rich man. I have nothing to give anyone. I don't even have anything to give anything outside of the spiritual gift that God have me. I'm so shallow and so vain and so empty. But I realize that if you will look at people with potential and you will look at every situation with potential in Jesus' hand, you find yourself doing all you can to help a city or a nation or a country or a world or a household or a family or an individual. That's what's so great about Jesus. He sees such potential in every one of you. He doesn't see the failures and the hurt, and he knows all that, but the compassion means he knows everything that's going through your heart and mind, but he sees how to get you to where you need to be, that God created you to be. But if you hold on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you'll just let go, you'll find what living is all about. Oh, give me life. I want more of it. But you're really saying, give me stuff. Give me things. That's not life. Make me popular. Why? Give me money. For what? No, life. Jesus said, I've come to bring life and life more abundantly. I'm in a lot of pain today, and I'm not saying that asking sympathy. The last few days have been very painful for me. I'm in chronic pain anyhow, but I was standing between services, and I say, oh, I got so much pain, if I could just go sit down. And this man comes up to me and stands there and says, 10 years ago, you said something that made me leave San Diego, and I went into a Muslim country, and I've done this work for 10 years, and I'm listening. I said something? Yeah, you said something, so I did that, and da-da-da-da, and da-da-da-da, and, you know, I've had my knee removed, hip surgery, I've had this thing over here, I've got cancer in my lower spine, I've got a morphine pump here in my side over here, and I've got this thing in my, and I'm standing there saying, I've got pain. And this guy's been rebuilt like a Lego toy. Come on. And then a woman tells me after he leaves, you know, I got pregnant by my father. He raped me and I had his baby. And you poor thing. Yeah. In 1 year, I mean, on the same date, the same hour, when I was an adult and got married, you know, and had my first child was born the same time as that baby. I've got problems. I've got hurt. Send them away. No, you end up losing your life. You die to yourself. So I can see and you can see the potential in each of us. We don't try to take from one another. We try to give to one another. You know, you're not just one big contact list. You're not a MySpace.com of get as many on your list as you can. No. You're each one so very precious that he has compassion for you. And his compassion wants to go out to you and touch you in a way it's never touched you. See him for who he is. He's not a religious leader. He's the one who made you. And he just wants to fellowship with you. He just wants to hang out with you. And he wants to give you some insights because he knows what's going to happen. That's all. He doesn't want to beat you up and push you around and make you genuflex and jump through hoops and be religious. He just wants to love you. That's all he wants to do. And show you what life is really about. So exercise your faith. See the potential in everyone and in everything. You see, because boy plus barley bread plus fish equals what? But Andy saw something. A boy plus this barley bread plus these two fish. I don't know, but at least it's something. That's solution number three. Don't know what to do, but let's do something. But solution number four. This is the one that works every time. Give all that you have to the Lord. It's that simple. You see, this solution came from Jesus himself. Huh, give it to me. You know, you want to be a blessed woman? You want to be a blessed man? Take this story to heart. He broke the bread and blessed it. To be broken is where the blessing comes from. To hang on to it all and be who you are. And after all, I've done this and that. And I know so-and-so. And man, if you saw my bank account. I had a man write me last week. I remember when I met him in 1972. And I was in his office. And he's the president of a company. And we sat down. And he said, I'm a Christian now. And I was really well off. I've given everything to the Lord. And da-da-da. And he pulled out a bank book. It was a checkbook. Said, this was my checking account at one time just a few years ago. His checking account, regular one that you and I have to go from paycheck to paycheck, had $6,400,000 in his regular checking that he just used for fun stuff. Had his own jets and his own whatever, you know, and just had everything. And now he is an older man and he's had some problems. And he said, God deals with me in such unique ways about my pride. And I pray all day and all night with all my physical ailments, but it's my pride. I thought of that for a moment. Even as a Christian man, I can have pride that still says, well, in my own society, in my own circle of people, there's no good thing that dwells within any of us. Please, don't miss the compassion that is coming. Give all that you have to the Lord. This solution came from him. Blessed the bread, broke the bread, and then gave it to others. Multiplied his life through the disciples. The miracle, as Warren Wiersbe said, took place in the hands of the Lord, not in the hands of the disciples. You and I can do nothing. As a church, as a congregation, as friends, we can pool our money and our resources and our time and our energy, and we can bless people. But the miracle comes from the hands of God, not from our hands. Not from us. And some of you are so glad to give all that you have to him because you've realized there is no good thing that dwells within you. And that's not the issue for you. In the later chapter, this chapter, the people said, we know the Old Testament that Moses gave us the manna from heaven. Jesus, whoa, stop. Moses did not give you the manna from heaven. My Father gave you the manna from heaven. How often we look at what we've accomplished or what our religion has done and we have to stop and say, God is the giver of all good gifts. He's the Father of lights in whom there is no variableness of turning nor shadow. But all good gifts come from our Father who is in heaven above. Your wife, your husband, your beautiful children, anything you have has come from God. It has come from God. He's alive in his compassion. Just pours out towards you. Notice that the disciples had nothing. They weren't even prepared for lunch. They thought it'd be a short sermon. On the way, he spent all day with those people. So in conclusion, with the leftovers, we learn that Jesus receives fragments. My question is, why is it that most people only give the fragments to Jesus and keep the lion's share to themselves? Whenever there's a need, Jesus shows us, don't throw up your hands and say, oh, what do we do now? How are we going to do this? Well, let's sell this. Let's talk to this guy. No, put it in the hands of Jesus. Instead, give all that you have to Jesus and the miracles begin. And here's a lesson I've learned. Begin with what you have. Never begin with what you don't have. The man at the pool of Bethesda began with what he didn't have. Wilt thou be made whole, crippled man? Well, you see, I have no man to put me in the water. He didn't ask him for excuses. But the man is dealing from what he doesn't have, from his weakness. No, take what you have. Yes, sir, I do want to be made whole. I don't have any way of doing it. Well, Jesus, of course, has the way. No, begin with what you have. This is all I've got. The woman that had 2 pennies, put it in the offering box. The rich man came and beat his chest and wrote the big check and said, I'm glad I'm not like other sinners. And here you go, God. And Jesus turned to these same 12 that had not learned about loving the people and said, which of these 2 will get the greater reward in heaven? And to a man, they all said, the rich guy. He said, nope, the poor lady. You see, this lady gave out of her lack and her need. He gave out of his excess. It was a write-off. It was nothing for him to write that check. But for her, she gave from her heart. That's all Jesus is looking for. Yeah, begin with what you have. Never begin with what you don't have. And remember, significance, that John mentions that Jesus gave thanks. And all 3 other Gospels said he bowed his head and gave thanks to his Father because that's where the gifts came from. Instead of complaining about what we do not have, the story teaches us, how about giving thanks to God for that which we do have? And he will make it multiply beyond our wildest imagination and dreams. Always remember to bow your head and give thanks to God. Just that you're breathing right now, give thanks. Too many people forget to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name, the psalmist said. The upright shall dwell in your presence. Surely, that's how it'll be. Shall we stand and shall we pray? Father God, as we bow our hearts before you this very moment, we pray that you'll take the little bit of who we are and what we are and what we have and that you'll use it for your honor and glory. But we do ask you'll be gentle with us when you break us. And we pray you wouldn't hurt us. But we want to be blessed, Lord. So in the blessing of breaking, may we see the key to living is to let all good things come from your hands to us, and then we share it and we distribute it. May you help us, Lord, be men and women that are always thankful, never taking for granted anything we have, and always open to meet the needs of others. Help us, Lord. Help us learn this strength to not do our lives from what we don't have and be complainers and wimps and whiners, but just to take what we do have and say, here, Lord, can you use this? Expand our vision, expand our faith, and never again let us say, send the people away, but let us figure out a way that we can help the people and be a blessing to the people. May your arms wrap around every woman and every man right now, Lord, and may they know that you love them, you cherish them, you think precious thoughts about them, you so desperately want them to know that you already have the end in sight. You know what tomorrow holds. You know what the future holds. And you hold it all. So we just chill out and just wait for you to speak. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
As the challenges of life come our way, let's remember to always trust God. When we learn to surrender and give all we have to the Lord, it's at these times of brokenness that he uses to multiply the blessing in our lives. You've been listening to Mike McIntosh with a message titled, What Do We Do Now? If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMcIntosh.com. That's MikeMcIntosh.com. and click on the teaching link, and then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through John, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at mikemackintosh.com. Chapter and Verse is a listener-supported ministry, so if the Lord places it on your heart to help fund this program on your station, please write to us at Chapter and Verse. Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also give online securely at mikemackintosh.com. Finally, let me invite you to join us next time here on Chapter and Verse when we'll continue our series through the book of John. At that time, Mike will present the message, Does Jesus Just Walk on Water? Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.